This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Scotland Outdoors podcast. Thanks for downloading. I'm Helen Needham. Well, as we prepare this week to head to one of the highlights of the Scottish agricultural calendar, the Royal Highland Show, we thought it might be a good idea to revisit Mark and Ewan's trip to one of the first major gatherings in the farming year, the Royal Northern Spring Show. This was part of a programme that was broadcast back in March when snow was thick on the ground, and I joined Mark in the BBC car park to present the programme. The first person that Mark and Ewan spoke to at Thainston that chilly, snowy day was Robbie Newlands, president of the Royal Northern Agricultural Society.
We haven't had a snowy spring show for a year or two, but we've certainly had worse than this in the past. But we've been quite lucky for the last few years, so snowier scene than we would have wanted to see, but there is a bit of blue sky above us at the moment, so hopefully it gets better.
We've got skeins of geese overhead and that noise in the background. It's snow shovels. It's been a lot of work going on.
It's been a lot of work and a lot of cold work for those in the outside stands, but everybody's quite happy. The showgoers they're used to it. Farmers are pretty resilient. It'll turn out it's a spring show. It's a fairly major date in their calendar for the northeast. So
the bad weather might have worked in your favour.
Well, certainly, if it had been a really nice spring, dry day, there would have been a lot of field work going on. People have been more reluctant to come because they're busy at home, so they can't get much done in this weather, so spring show is a good option, yeah.
Now, you touched on it just a second ago. How important is it?
The show is quite important because it's the first show of the year, really, and a lot of the standholders will do a bit of business at the show with the year going on in front of them. People will come to do buy machinery or do whatever, and it is the kick-off of the next year. Yeah.
Is there a lot of business done at this time of year?
There's a lot of the equipment here, livestock equipment, you know, cattle handling, arable machinery. People are maybe looking for a new machine to get going with the next year's crop.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the agricultural world at the moment. You would have thought folk would maybe be hanging off buying a big new shiny machine like that.
There is a lot of uncertainty, but you have to try and keep the wheel turning, because if you keep machinery too long, it becomes a liability as far as repairs and maintenance goes. So there is a line where it becomes more expensive to have the old one than have a new one, sort of thing.
Now, this is like a Highland show in miniature. There's a lot going on here. What about the livestock? What's the highlights for you? I mean, you're a bit biased.
I'm a bit biased. We have livestock at home. The exhibition cattle and the bulls are more of interest to me, and there's a good show of both here today. But there's also the sheep and the horses. I think the horses have been diminished a bit with the weather. They haven't had quite as big a turnout. But the cattle and the sheep and the exhibition cattle have all been quite good entries.
Is this mainly a trade event? Is this for farmers? Is there a public aspect to it as well?
It's not specifically for farmers. The general public are very welcome, but it tends to be predominantly farmers that come here because especially on a day like this, the weather would possibly put off a casual visitor on a day like this.
But what did happen when you wake up this morning? You go, no, this is months and months of work. There's roads blocked, there's snow everywhere, you know.
The show was all in place yesterday, and we had one or two people phoning saying, are you going to cancel the show? But most of the farmers in the area that do come, if they do want to come and do business or see exhibition cattle judged or buy a bull possibly, they're going to come anyway. So
big money change hands today, especially with the bulls.
The bulls certainly going on the Charlie cattle bull sale at Stirling was a good trade, and I would expect that to be reflected here as well.
Robin Ewland's president of the Northern Agricultural Society. I don't know about Ewan, but as I was driving across, the only people I saw on the road were farmers heading for the spring show. As Robbie just said there, bulls are big business, and the spring show attracts buyers far and wide for its sale of pedigree bulls. John Angus is head of livestock at Aberdeen and Northern Marts and auctioneer for the bull sales. I took up a ringside vantage point with him.
At the present minute, we are judging the classes of the bulls, the different breeds. We started off with the Charlies first in the morning, then we moved on to Limousins. Present time, we're now waiting to judge the championship in the Simmental bulls.
These are big animals, and they get a wee bit of ribbon at the end of the day. Why is that ribbon valuable?
The producers like to show off their bulls in front of prospective buyers. We have got quite a few guys round the ring watching the bulls, walking to see how they're walking, because they're looking for an animal that's going to come home and improve their breeding at home. As an auctioneer, you have to have a fair bit of knowledge about the bulls and of their pedigrees and the style of the bull to try and help increase the value of them.
Is there a sort of a fashion in animals? Does it change over the decades?
Definitely a fashion in animals, that especially people breeding their own replacements. They'll be probably switching breeds to try and get a bit of cross back in to keep the milk in their breeding herd. Uh-huh. That's a tremendous bull there. He's great length, great top, very stylish, very nice head, correct in his legs, and I really like the bull that's standing here. Yes, that's the champion Simmental being picked there. It's all the way down from Blackford in Inverness.
Given the fact that these animals weigh in at over a tonne, why are they so biddable? I mean, they've been led a bit and at the end of a bit of a string, basically.
It's all down to the stockmen. The stockmen have been working with these animals for probably the last 6 months. Because they've spent a lot of time with them, that's how they are so very quiet. As you can see, they're just standing there today, not trying to fight with each other or nothing. No. They're just standing there, very docile, quite happy with themselves. So the one that's just got the championships looks so proud of itself in the meantime, because I've got the big ticket.
So let's thank all the senators, Smith and Rose.
That's the Simmental's lean the ring just now, and as the commentator was just saying, the judge for that round was Alan Lawson.
He's just coming out just now.
All right, hello Alan, how you doing? Tell me, I know nothing about Simmental's. How do you go about judging them? What are the sort of parameters you use?
Well, you're looking for a beast that's good on his legs, good breed character to him. These bulls here, they've got the first bull in particular, he's got a great length of carcass to him, nice hindquarter to him, and a lot of style and character, and he's carried himself around the ring very well, you know.
It's kind of important though. Surely a bull's a bull if it's a bull, you know, what difference does it make what his attitude to life is?
The character is what you see, it's what meets your eye. They've got to be pleasing to the eye.
It is financially important, the result, to these producers. So that must put you in a very delicate situation. It's a bit like being asked to judge the Bonnie Baby competition. You know, one person's going to love you to bits and the rest of them are going to think, that man's an idiot.
Well, this is true. Maybe they're right. I don't know. You try to put what you think is the best animal forward for the prize. Yes, and it does have a financial implication on some of the bulls. But out there's a lot of men who are looking as well. And we're looking at the bulls and we don't know any of the figures, you know, which is the EBVs, which is estimated breed values.
Okay,
so you're working blind, really.
So we're working blind. We don't know what those bulls' EBVs are.
I suppose the proof of the pudding has come today when they actually auction them to see if you've been proved right. But these look really good animals.
Oh, they are. There's a lot of good bulls in here today, very good show of bulls. And there's guys who come into here to buy bulls. That's what they buy a bull on, estimated breed value, whether he was first in his class or whether he was fifth in his class.
Finish where we started with Simmentals. What does it do?
They're a dual-purpose breed. Very good milky females. People use them in the suckler herds and they cross them with other terminal sires to produce calves for the or cattle eventually for the food chain, you know. So the Simmentals do that job, but they also produce cattle for the food chain themselves. So they're a very good dual-purpose animal.
And they're quite pretty as well.
They're very nice bulls, yes. They're nice cattle, yes.
The champion there, number 55, and Michael Hawk, number 53, into the ring for the reserve championship.
I'm Patrick Slee, a farmside old Meldrum, and I'm just here. It's a social day out, even with the weather the way it is. It's a good way just to catch up with fellow farmers and keep in touch with what's happening in our industry.
It was making me smile outside because the roads are practically empty except for farmers. You know, they've got the wherewithal to actually get here. But
correct.
Outside, you could be in Norway, you could be in Alaska, you could be anywhere.
Yes.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's just part of the lifestyle we've been accustomed to. We've had snow many years ago, not as bad as this, but this is just what it used to be like, and it will come back.
It's also a good day not to be working, isn't it?
Yes, it's a great day not to be working. I've no rush back, I've no livestock to feed, just myself.
Now listen, are you likely to put your hand on your pooch at all today? Are you buying?
It's in already, but I'm not sure if I'm buying. I might buy a round of drinks somewhere if you're in the bar.
How important, I've asked the show president this as well, but how important is this show? You know, it's the first of the agricultural year.
The spring show is an important calendar event. It's quite important. There's a lot of business done here, people tell me. It really is the beginning of the show season.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things are decided what's going to happen in the springtime and what they're going to farm in the summer, you know. It's an important calendar event. There are certain calendar events it's important, and the spring show is certainly one.
But what I don't understand is why would you bring your big Simmental bull or your Angus bull to this show rather than the Perth bull sales?
Well, they're all important in the calendar year, but it depends what age their bulls are at, what condition they're in. They can't all be ready at one time of the year, and a lot of them are being brought out for certain times, and the spring show is certainly one. As buyers come here, maybe won't go to the Perth bull sales.
Patrick Slee, Judge Alan Lawson and John Angus there, Head of Livestock at Aberdeen Northern Marts. It is just chaotic. It's wonderful. You know?
I love it. It reminds me of my childhood.
Yes, being hauled around these things.
Hauled around marts and also sprucing up cattle and bulls because my mum used to show and breed pedigree Simmental bulls. So we used to spend hours cleaning these things and making them curly and fluffing up the tails. That's the bit that we liked. You know, where the tails become a big ball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Other kids got toys, not you.
I just remember getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get to Keith's show on time.
Sounds about right. Gordon McConachy has just been elected as the president of the Highlands Cattle Society. Now, Highlands are an iconic beast, but there were no Highland cattle at the spring show because, at the moment, they're not considered to be a commercial breed. So, what on earth was Gordon doing there?
It's to try and show that there is more to the Highland animal than just, as many people see it, as hair and horns, you know, on shortbread tins. They have a commercial side to them that we would like to explore to try and generate an interest in, you know, new breeders coming into the Highland breed, and that should, for the long term, you know, be a benefit to everybody. They are very attractive to look at in terms of, you know, their appearance, and they appear everywhere. At the end of the day, they're a beef animal. And they have an outlet, and the meat is proven to be as good, if not better, than some of the other breeds out there.
Well, I'm biased here as well, because I used to dabble in Highland cattle. It is the best in the world in terms of eating quality. I mean, folk with belted galleries might disagree, and that's a valid point, but compared to a big Charley, for example, it's a different thing.
Different, because they're traditionally longer-keep animals. You know, they've been matured. You know, until the 30-month ban came in, you wouldn't have a Highlander fat until it was 3, maybe 4 years old. You know, and that slow and maturing process builds up the eating quality and in the beef. And it's just to try and get, you know, the mainstream farmer thinking, well, this Highland animal might work on my farm, because most farms have, you know, poorer quality forage, rough areas, where the Highlander can convert that into beef where no other animal can do it. You know what I mean?
How much resentment was there in the Highland community when they brought in the 30-month cap?
That must have annoyed a lot of them.
It certainly did, because suddenly you had to force on animals that weren't, you know, you couldn't force on. And the funny thing about a Highlander is, because it's been bred traditionally longer keep, it doesn't respond to, you know, high levels of concentrate until about 2 years old. So you've got really this last little bit of a window to try and get weight into them.
You've got a slow-growing animal that's costing you more
to
produce. How are you going to convince guys here at the spring show that it's a commercial viability?
I mean, I think the fact is that there is an end product demand for it. Like Waitrose and Sainsbury's have a specific Highland brand there that they sell mostly in England, you know, in the bigger suburban areas where there is a demand for, you know, this type of beef.
Do you need to change the way you operate or the way you market it? Because the likes of Sainsbury's are not going to speak to your average Highland cattle producer who's producing three cattle a year.
No. The biggest problem we have is the seasonality of supply. Because, you know, up till now, traditionally, every Highlander's calved in the springtime. So by the 30-month period, they're all coming finished at the end of that year. So there's a big glut of animals coming onto the market in October, November. But your supermarkets and your meat processors want continuity of supply. So it's to try and change that yearly cycle. It's going to be difficult.
You're talking in agricultural and business terms, but I suspect it's more than that. I mean, why do you love them as a breed?
They're so easy to keep. I mean, the farm we have at home, you know, it suits it because we've got older, rougher grasses, and we've tried other animals. None of them convert it the way they do. And I do in my other job as a full-time consultant. When we analyse farm books and farm accounts, it's the cost of keeping the cow over the winter can make a difference between profit and loss. And your Highland cow can, you know, live on very little over the winter compared to other breeds. It doesn't live on nothing, but it lives on very little compared to other breeds.
Sucking stones.
Yeah, well, you know, it's sometimes a misconception that they eat nothing, but they still have to give them something.
Are you making any headway here today? Because there's not even any Highland cattle on show because they're not a commercial breed. They're not welcome here.
I doubt if I'll have such a big influence in my term as president of society. But if we can get people looking at the commercial side, the crossing side of the Highlander, then that will generate an interest in the purebred Highlander. You know, so that will keep the cycle going. It's a long, slow process, unfortunately.
A bit like the cattle themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Gordon McConachie, president of the Highland Cattle Society. But it wasn't just beasts at the spring show at Thainston last week. Ewan and I were absolutely delighted to come across two guys, Bill Stewart and Murray Littlejohn, of the Banff and Buchan Tractor Club, with something just absolutely beautiful.
So 135 at where Banff and Buchan Tractor Club was gifted by a local man that had a collection of Fergie tractors, and he gifted it to our club. And we took it out to bits and got it all painted and all hanging, reading up to be selling for it, come here for an auction, for a charity.
What state was it in when you got it?
Actually, not too bad a state for a 1970 tractor, but it had a loader on it in its early days, and so like the front axle and bits like that were well bashed and worn, but we had to get rid of all that and get new bits fitted on. And the bodywork was in typical condition for a tractor of that age.
I have to say, it looks as if it's come out of a showroom just now. It's immaculate.
Aye, it's looking really well. Aye, the red and the silver was all painted in Gray and Adams in Fraserburgh. They donated the paintwork for all that, and the grey was done by two of the club members that did it. And we've got it up into, you know, our club members is a fine heated workshop, so we've got it sitting here for a few months, so there was no excuse for going at night.
So why do you want to restore tractors?
Well, I think it's to retain something of the heritage of what the modern tractors have on the farms today. Obviously, you have to go back a further generation to be in amongst the horse, and then you go into the modern tractors. And as somebody's already said today, all the farms in up and down in the north and northeast of Scotland would have had a Fergie or a Massey Fergie. That was the size of tractor that replaced the horse in the first instance. And we just want to kind of retain that and make sure that that's not forgotten about in the days that lie ahead.
What would that have cost when it was brand new way back when?
We were arguing, are they arguing, but discussing that earlier.
Well, arguing's probably right.
But what do you think it was?
I don't know, maybe two grand, something like that?
1,000.
Okay.
Well, I think 2,000 would be nearer the mark. That's 1970. We have one of our club members has actually showed us on a copy of an invoice that he has for his tractor, and it came out in 1962. It was a 35, and it was £800.
Yes.
So I think with the time you add on inflation through the 60s, it would be nearer the £2,000 mark.
What do you expect this to get today at auction?
Well, I'm not sure. The last night that we was working at it, Bill here had done a bit of paper and what took a guess, but I'm not sure if one of us can mind what the thing is, but I'm not sure. We're hoping, for whatever we mark, it's for the charity didn't have before, but hopefully maybe, and again, the guesses are ranged really for about 5,000 up to 10,000.
It's a sizeable donation to charity, though.
Aye, and it's all going to RSABI, so we felt that that was the right charity for our club to support.
So just explain what RSABI is.
Royal Scottish Agricultural Benevolent Institute.
Well done.
Ewan Pate, Chairman of RSABI.
Ewan, what does RSABI do?
Well, RSABI is known as the rural charity. It's over 100 years old, and it was set up to help retired farm workers, retired estate workers. But over the years, that's changed a bit. It's still part of our work, but a lot of it now is to do with working farmers, with people who are either in financial difficulty or suffering from stress, or an awful lot of that type of work now. So it's a general rural charity.
So can you help them financially? Because there's a lot of people with very serious debts out there.
We can help people financially with the living expenses. We can't help farm businesses who are in difficulty, but we do have mechanisms in place to help farming businesses through help, through advice, through signposting them to places where they can actually get help.
See, there are things like social work departments, as obviously we're all members of the welfare state. Where you have an edge is you know these people. You're much more likely to know the stories behind the stories and actually determine who's desperate for help.
That's right. Well, we have staff on the ground throughout Scotland that, they're picking up the chat, they know exactly what's happened, and they know the implications of, say, weather like we have today, a very nasty spell of weather after a difficult winter. They know what that means to people, where other, people represent the welfare state wouldn't quite understand that.
Mm-hmm. Would the farmers perhaps be more inclined to talk to you? Because this is a sweeping generalisation, but many farmers do not want to talk about their problems. They're in their own in the fields, it's brewing in their head, it becomes a serious mental health issue as well.
Well, you've hit on a very pertinent point there. Farmers are generally reticent, rather slow to ask for help, and quite often have to be persuaded or encouraged by friends and neighbours to say, look, RSABI are there, they'll help you.
They're just about to auction that tractor.
Yeah.
How hopeful are you of a good price?
Well, I'm very hopeful for a good price. They've made an absolutely, the Banff and Buck and Tractor Club have made
it's
a really splendid
it?
Job. It's immaculate. It's just like new, and I'm absolutely sure that they'll make a very good price for it. They were telling me there, they reckon they've put about 500 man hours into it, and they've had help from local companies and so on. And the tractor itself was donated, so it's really a huge community effort. And RSABI relies very heavily on that sort of support from within the industry.
Ewan Pate there of the RSABI, and Banff and Buchan Tractor Club restorers Murray Littlejohn and Bill Stewart. It was a thing of beauty and a joy forever. Keep listening and we'll tell you how much that wee 135 Fergie eventually realised. It did extremely
well. Let's get to the pinnacle of the spring show now. All the bulls had been judged in their individual classes, and now it was time to select an overall winner. Now, frankly, Ewan and I know puff about bulls, but it didn't stop us giving it a go.
What we have in here at the moment is all the bulls in their various breeds who are already champions, and what they're trying to establish is which is the champion of champions. What do you reckon?
It's really hard. The easy money is on the Charlie. It's a big bruiser of a bull.
It's enormous.
And the mindset, a lot of farmers criticise me here, that biggest is best. And so the Simmental, big white beastie with a huge rear end, tends to do it. But there's a couple of other nice ones in there as well. The Shorthorn at the end, the Aberdeen Angus, Simmental.
The Simmental, I see, I quite like the Simmental. It's just something sort of,
Well, I'm going to go for the Simmental.
Yeah, well, me too, and we'll both be wrong.
Eddie, who do you think's going to win?
What's the smart money on?
I'll probably be wrong, but I'm going to say the Charlie.
This is Eddie Galanders, who's in charge of the press here at the Society. Is it just always, biggest always wins?
Not necessarily. It's got to have more than size. It's got to have shape and walking ability as well. And you see, the judge will be having a good look at everything about the six bulls competing for the championship.
Well, what he's essentially doing at the moment, the judge, is reminding himself, because he's already judged all these animals.
He has, but he hasn't the first time he's seen them all together side by side.
Uh-huh.
This is the important bit.
In our case, he's already decided it. The minute they came in, he knew it was going to win.
I don't think so. It's not always a foregone conclusion. Sometimes it is, but It's going to be the limousine.
Okay, I was wrong. You were wrong. What do we know? Well, the limousine wins. Funny looking bull. That might be my second choice. But that's quite controversial. Because,
why?
Well, people would expect the big white Charlie. They will expect it to win. So that's quite controversial because I haven't heard anybody saying that that one would be in with a chance.
Yeah.
So your overall champion today goes to the limousine pool from Emsley's Flagstock with Emsley's Messi, number 20 in your catalogue.
The sound of a limousine bull winning best in show. We'll end this podcast with the auctioning off of the beautifully restored Fergie 135 tractor. Thanks for downloading, and if you like what you heard, tell your friends and leave us a rating.
Into the auditorium here. It's a Massey Fergie 135.
I have to say, the entire crowd has moved forward for this.
Aye, there was a few people interested in the bulls, but there's absolute real excitement at this tractor. We're excited as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It's a gorgeous thing.
It was first registered in 1970.
Look at that. Just absolutely immaculate. It's just coming into the ring now, onto the sawdust. And I swear, it looks like it's just come out of the factory.
It's beautiful. Listen to the engine as well. It's just purring away.
One registration, no VAT. Look at that.
Oh, I want it.
Beautiful.
And as the auctioneer says, no VAT on it.
Yeah.
A massive audience here, so if you could please wave your hands very clearly until I get your attention there. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who starts me. What are you going to say? 10,000. 10,000. 8,000. 5,000, get me in. 5,000's up there. 5,500. 6,000. 7,000. 7,000 up in the audience. 7,000, I'm bid. 7,000, you're out, sir. 7,500. 7,500 in the back here. 7,500. We're out. 7,005 I've got there. That's the man I've got at the front. 7,500. 7,005, you're in, sir. That's 7,000, 8,000. 8,000, I'm bid. I'm at 8,000. 8,000, I'm bid. Anybody else there? 8,000 is down on the floor. At 8,000, I'll take a 2 again if it helps you. 8,000. Well, at 8,000. 8, you bring, sir. 8,2. 8,5. 8,500. 8,500, you bring. I'll take a small bit again. 8,500. 8,500, come on. 8,005, a chance of a lifetime. At 8,500, on the floor. 8,008. 8,008, 9,000. 9,000. You bring, sir. 9,500. 9,500. 10,000. 10,000, I'm bid. 10,000, you bring, boys. At 10,000. At 10,000. Anybody else in? At 10,000. At 10,000, you're out, make no mistake. At 10,000, at 10,000, in here I have. At 10,000, I'll take a half again if it helps you. At 10,000, it's going to be sold then. At 10,000, final call. 10,000, 10,000, I sell it then. At 10,000, thank you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.